Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to get into some, what were your favorite snacks that you ate when you were growing up? And we'll talk a little bit about some of our favorites from the past. 312-981-7200. And the reason why we're bringing this up is because Nabisco animal crackers set free from cages in box redesigned after PETA expresses concerns. Animal crackers, long depicted behind bars in iconic packaging that resembled circus boxcars, are going cage-free. Bowing to pressure from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and changing tastes, Mondelez International is rolling out the new box artwork for the small animal-shaped cookies with the lion, giraffe, elephant, gorilla, and zebra set loose and roaming the wild. We're delighted, PETA spokesman Ben Williamson said on Tuesday. We're celebrating the redesign just as we celebrated the end of the circus. Mondelez confirmed Tuesday that the new animal cracker boxes are going to hit the store shelves nationwide, but stopped short of fully crediting the PETA for the redesign. PETA definitely reached out and shared their concerns, Kimberly Fons said. The brand felt it should be the right time to make the change. Still named Barnum's Animal Crackers, which is a nod to circus impresario P.T. Barnum, the cookies were launched in 1902 by Nabisco's forerunner, the National Biscuit Company. Animal crackers are one of the oldest brands in the portfolio of the Deerfield-based snack giant Mondelez, which owns Nabisco. And the packaging has changed a little over the years, with animals caged in boxcars in transit from the circus, long a battleground for PETA over alleged abuse of animals. PETA first reached out to them in April of 2016 to express concerns about the animal crackers box and its representation of circus life, where animals were often mistreated and forced to perform confusing and painful tricks. In July of 2016, PETA submitted new proposed artwork for the box featuring the animals uncaged and roaming wild. The outreach initiated a dialogue, but no immediate action by Mondelez. The public's appetite for animal crackers was clearly waning. In 2017, January, Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus announced that it would be closing after 146 years, ending the greatest show on Earth, amid dwindling audiences and pressure from PETA and other animal rights groups. 6 months later, the company told PETA it was planning to redesign the animal crackers box would likewise liberate the creatures from their cages. They shared the new design with PETA in August of 2017, so a year ago, which Williamson said was remarkably similar to the group's own submission. PETA has no plans to file a copyright infringement lawsuit. People are staying away from animal circuses in droves, Williamson said. They won't tolerate seeing animals abused for some form of historic amusement, and we're glad the marketing efforts are now catching up with reality. Nabisco has changed the Barnum animals design before for limited special editions such as endangered species and zoo collections sold during the 90s, but the cookies have remained essentially the same for 116 years, with the exception of some animals coming and going. Camels, for example, are no longer part of the cookie menagerie, but the elephant, giraffe, and lion have been pretty constant throughout the brand's history. So, Dan, you saw the new artwork.
I did.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they did. Nice job on it.
I think it's cool. That's cool, man. So, it's no more circuses, no more circus, cages for the animals, and they're all free to go. Now, do you like animal crackers, Dan?
I do. I remember when I was a kid being upset, like having the idea that I apparently needed to be instructed by PETA as well, because what I used to do is I used to take the cartons that the strawberries came in, the green cartons,
yeah,
and use those as like...
to cage your animal
to
crackers?
To cage my animal crackers, yeah.
Did you have a favorite animal cracker animal?
I was surprised to hear that the camel went away, because I did enjoy the camel.
Yeah, camel.
Because you could eat the hump first, and then eat the rest of the...
Right. Esmeralda, are you a fan of animal crackers?
You know, I never really ate animal crackers. Mm. Were they kind of lemony?
No, they're pretty bland. Yeah, they're pretty bland. They're kind of plain. You know, how would you describe them, Dan?
I don't know how to describe them.
They're a little sweet, but they're bland.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I like them. I've eaten animal crackers. You know, when I was a kid, I used to eat them. I used to eat them a lot. I'm assuming because they're so bland, Dan, they can't be terrible for kids to eat. You know what I mean? Like, you would probably want them to eat.
Yeah, I've seen various things about that.
Because you would rather your kids eat animal crackers than like anything really chocolatey or sugary or because they're kind of just sort of safe and bland. And I think that's the reason why, because they're aimed at really, really young kids, and you don't want to shove a bunch of sugar down a kid's throat. So, I mean, but they're tasty, Esmeralda, especially if you grew up on them. It's when, you know what I'm talking about. If you grow up eating something, you like it more.
Right.
And so, I mean, as a kid, I ate a lot of animal crackers. And so to this day, if I ever have animal crackers, you know, and I taste them, my dad buys animal crackers every time we go shopping. My dad eats animal crackers on a regular basis.
You know what's funny to think is that they're a cracker.
Right.
Not a cookie.
Right.
I'm just thinking of that song, The Animal Crackers in My Soup.
What?
Shirley Temple.
Oh. Oh, right. Okay. I didn't know what. I'm sorry. I was like, what?
And now I'm thinking, I'm like, why would you put animal crackers in your soup?
There's a story about that on one of the lists I gave you, Nick. It's number 11 about the 11 facts about animal crackers. Sure. Apparently it was a mistake.
Oh, here's a little tidbit about that, Esmeralda. Thanks for bringing it up. You ready?
No. Oh,
Shirley Temple sang incorrectly about the crackers. In the 1935 movie Curly Top, pint-sized actress Shirley Temple performed a ditty about the childhood favorite called Animal Crackers in My Soup, which Nabisco went on to use for many years in its commercials in the following years. In it, she sings the lyric, "Monkeys and rabbits loop the loop." But rabbits have never been among the furry friends included in the package of animal crackers, at least not in Barnum's animal packages. So she said rabbits.
Oh, that's the problem?
That's the problem.
Not that they're going in a soup?
Nope.
Ugh.
Nope. No rabbits.
Animal crackers in my soup. Monkeys and rabbits loop the loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl of soup I see, lions and tigers watching me. I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup. When I get hold of the big bad wolf, I just push him on a new round. Then I bite him and a million bits, and I go boom him right down. When they're inside me where it's dark, I walk around like Noah's Ark. I stuff my tummy like a goop with animal crackers in my soup.
Wow.
That is a dark song.
It is.
No, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I've never... Wow.
I've never listened to the... I actually forgot about the song, but I've never listened to the... That is really kind of a screwed up song.
That's some serial killer stuff.
It's lucky it's a sweet little curly-topped girl singing
she's
it.
She's like, it's dark inside, yeah. All these animals.
Oh, my God. Oh. I've never tried... Do you ever... Dan, have you ever tried animal crackers in your soup?
I have not, but I have put them in milk. Like a cereal.
I've done that as well. I've never put them in soup, though. Well,
Dan, I'd maybe eat soup for that.
And then talk about how you're eating them into pieces.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd eat them in hummus soup.
Hummus soup. There you go. We've learned that that's a thing. So, was that Eva Longoria, right? No. Was the hummus soup?
Cheryl Crow.
That's right. It was Cheryl Crow. All right. We have to break here for weather and for traffic, and then we'll come back. What were your favorite snacks when you were a kid? Let's reminisce a little bit about that. What did you eat a lot when you were a kid and your favorite? And do you like animal crackers? And have you ever put animal crackers in your soup? That seems to be the eternal and most important question of the times. Have you ever tried animal crackers in your soup? And did you ever sing about them very, very disturbingly, like Shirley Temple did? Let's break for some weather and some traffic, and then we'll get back to it. 312-981-7200. Another TV theme song, which seems to be more and more popular every week on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah! 312-981-7200. Mark and Hobart wanted to hear the Jeffersons theme song, and there it is. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about popular snack food items because the Barnum animal cracker box has been redesigned, and that got us thinking about what we ate when we were kids. Did you eat animal crackers when you were a kid? Did you put them in your soup? And we're going to talk about some of the more popular snack items from the past 10 decades. We did have a notice on our Facebook page, Dan, from a listener named Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, just heard you talking about Dark Shadows having a cookbook. It seems crazy to me, too, but if you really want to see crazy, Google Dark Shadows bloopers. You will laugh yourself silly over the mistakes we obviously missed watching this cult series back in the 60s. So I'm assuming that it includes, like, bloopers maybe we didn't see, but bloopers they kept in. Like I was saying, when pieces of the set would fall apart, nobody would, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, the show was just so corny and the production values were so low that they didn't care. A window would fall or something, and they would just keep going. It's just so ridiculous. Dark Shadows, but it was a phenomenon, man. It was a phenomenon. You know what else was a hit was the theme from Dark Shadows. You had Quentin's theme, but then you actually had like the theme from Dark Shadows that was like during the credits. And that was spooky and creepy. Can you find that? The Dark Shadows theme music? Because it was creepy and spooky. It used to freak me out when I was a kid, and then I think that also was a hit single. So I This is a weird time, man. Late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. That's it, man. That's the theme to Dark Shadows right there. I would hear that and then run behind the couch. And then peek out and look. That was a little weirdo. All right. Esmeralda, did you have any snack foods that you loved when you were a kid? Anything in particular?
I'm trying to think. I was a bit of a weirdo, and I ate a lot of vegetables.
Ah.
Actually, okay. As snacks. I would eat celery and cucumbers and tomatoes with salt and lemon.
Wow, you were a healthy kid.
Yeah. Or crackers with butter.
Okay.
I'd go either way.
Either way.
Saltines and butter.
Saltines and butter. That's not weird. That seems like a normal thing. I used to eat saltines and butter as well. Dan is being disgusted right now by the fact that we're adding butter to a saltine.
Yeah.
Anti-butter.
Wow, that seems like you were like, I mean, were your parents like, hey, that's nice. We don't have to worry about her eating this crappy
I guess, yeah.
sweets and stuff.
I honestly haven't really eaten a lot of like snack treats or what, you know, like Little Debbie's and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
We never bought that.
Yeah.
So I attribute that for me not being a bazillion pounds now as an adult.
Well, I ate a lot of crap when I was a kid. I did. And when I was a kid, I had more of a sweet tooth, certainly, than I do now. Like, I barely have a sweet tooth now. You know? Like, on Punchki Day, Esmeralda, that's the most, like, sugary stuff that I consume in a year. Like, once a year is when I...
that's a year's worth.
Yeah, so. No, it absolutely is. Every once in a while, and if I do, like, a sweet thing... You know, I don't really go for the rich chocolatey stuff. Like, if I'm going to have some candy, I'll do Skittles because, I mean, it's sweet, but it's, like, fruity.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer that to the really heavy, like, you know, chocolatey stuff. But when I was a kid, I ate all kinds of crap. I ate all kinds of crap.
I would think my only favorite, and I still really enjoy them, are those Soft Batch cookies.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Those are always my favorite.
Those were good. Yeah,
those are the ring cookies. Those butter cookies.
The butter cookies with the... Oh, those are good. Those aren't terrible for you,
the
though.
The little flour ones.
Yeah. No, those aren't bad. Those are just butter cookies.
Stick on your finger and you eat them.
Exactly. Those are just butter cookies. Maurice Linnell used to make those, and they still have them. And those aren't too bad. That's... Esmeralda, that's close to what an animal cracker tastes like.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of that. Maybe less sweet. But that's close to what an animal cracker tastes like. 412 area code says animal crackers have no flavor. They need more. They need more vanilla.
We'll be sure to let them know.
Hey, Eddie Volkman, your pal, your commercial pal, Esmeralda.
Yes,
Eddie Volkman is listening this morning. How you doing, Eddie? Thanks for listening, buddy. I appreciate it. The new Animal Crackers box is very nice, although that lion would tear apart the zebra and the giraffe that close proximity.
Oh, but they're standing in solidarity.
Yeah, because they're out of the cages now.
Yeah, they know.
The union has won.
The struggles that they've been through. Yeah. They're like, just today.
But of course, you know, I would like to see that depiction on the animal. The actual...
Just a bloody
just like
mess.
The lion just ripping all the other animals apart. Well, according to Shirley Temple, that's the truth.
Yeah, but she would be doing the ripping.
She would be doing the ripping. That's right. All right. We got a break here. We got the news coming up. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. What were your favorite snacks growing up? What do you like to eat and all that cool? Animal crackers. Have you ever put them in your soup? News is up. Next. All right. Jeez. Welcome back, everybody. And it's Wild Card Wednesday. You mean Wild Card Wednesday? It's one artist, any artist, any song, anything. 773 area code requesting Sergio Mendez with Alibis. They thought of it when I mentioned Shawn Mendez yesterday. I haven't thought of that song Alibis since it was out. Wow. All right. Hey, we're back. How's everybody doing? Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Also, talk and text. Send us your text or give us a call and tell us about what your favorite snacks were when you were a kid. Did you like animal crackers? Did you put animal crackers in your soup? That's the big question. And we'll talk about some of the more popular snack food items from the past. Let's see. Elaine in St. Louis said, one of my favorite snacks as a kid was Space Sticks. In retrospect, they're kind of gross, but they were very cool at the time. Space food sticks. Dan, we've talked about that before.
Sure.
Very popular in the late 60s, early 70s. My guess is that Rod Pyle used to eat them on a regular basis. They were space food sticks that went up to they went out in orbit, and they went up with the astronauts. And they came in a few different flavors, and they came in what looked like a foil wrapper, and they were the shape and size of a Slim Jim. That's the only reason I'm bringing that up. They weren't anything like Slim Jims, but they had a very sort of chalky consistency, and they had different flavors. Chocolate was my favorite, and they came individually wrapped in these sort of foil wrapped things that looked exactly like Slim Jim wrappers, except with, you know. And they were very, very popular in the late 60s, early 70s. I used to eat them all the time. I know they're still available. You can get them at any place that sells like sort of old school candy and old school food products. I know they're available. I'm sure you can probably order them on even on Amazon, I would imagine. They taste a little strange. They really do. I mean, Elaine is right. They were weird, but they really captured a lot of kids' imagination because of the space program at the time. And, you know, the idea of whatever astronauts did was cool. So if they ate these sort of chalky, you know, consistent, chocolate flavored space sticks, then it was cool. 630 area code says they can remove the cages, but we're still eating the animals. 847 area code says, I'm glad I saved my Barnum and Bailey metal canister. It's about 40 years old. It does have a little rust around the rim. I love animal crackers. 815 area code says, I used to love Cracker Jacks. Always took the boxes along wherever we went to a ball game. It was exciting to see what the prize would be. I think they taste terrible now that I'm older. Maybe it did. It tasted better back then, and it was the anticipation of the prize that made them taste better. Alfredo says, Mitch Hedberg used to say, we got this twice, 312 area code also said, Mitch Hedberg used to say, who, by the way, was a brilliant and incredibly original stand-up comedian. Animal crackers make people think that all animals taste the same. What does a giraffe taste like? A hippopotamus? I had them back to back. So they... good old Mitch Hedberg. He was great. Here's Bill on WGN. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I'm sort of like Ed Morella when she mentioned she ate vegetables and stuff for a snack. Well, I was born and raised on a farm in Indiana, and my mother only baked cake or cookies at Christmas time. We never had soft drinks in the house, and our snacks were whatever we'd pull out of the garden, fresh carrots, fresh turnips, fresh beets, anything like that, raw green beans, and we eat cherries off the trees, apples when they come in season. And then in the wintertime, we'd maybe pop popcorn. And our main drink was mainly milk. We had a dairy farm. My brother and sister and I consumed probably 15 gallons of milk a week.
I like that detail, Bill. I don't know if you listen regularly, but I'm a milk maniac.
Oh, yeah, I listen to you all the time.
Yeah, I go through a lot of milk.
Of course, our milk was like 10% butter fat.
Well, sure. When you drank it,
you could wipe the cream off the side of the glass.
Oh, absolutely. Know? Yeah. When I buy milk, it's always whole milk. I don't get the dishwater stuff.
I only buy whole milk.
Only whole milk.
Stuff is like, you might as well just drink the water.
I agree.
I
totally agree with you, Bill. All right, great, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. There's a guy snacking on right out of the earth, pulling stuff off the earth, eating it, drinking gallons of milk.
Yeah.
15 gallons of milk a week.
That's how my mom grew up. She grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
She was telling me because I try to buy organic
stuff
and carry butter and stuff. And I'm like, because the cows eat all this grass. And I was like, your grandma, you'd love your grandma living on a farm. I'm like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Churn my own butter. Come on.
My mom grew up on a farm, too. We have that in common, Esmeralda. My mom grew up on a farm as well.
Mine did as well.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I think because that's all there was before. Farms.
Yeah. Southern. Where did your mom grow up in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. They had a farm.
On a farm. What did they grow?
They grew, well, it was more the animal. The
oh, they had the animals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that she was would, the same for
I'm sure this is very not, you know, hygienic, but I mean, literally her dad would wake her up in the morning and then go milk the cow right into a cup and drink it.
No, my mom.
That's fine.
My mom did the same thing. My mom did the same thing. They would milk the cow and drink right out of that.
Yeah, even as a kid, I remember as a kid, they ran out of pasteurized milk and they had me try some milk. And I was just like, nah, thank you. Man. I did not like it. Like, this is not the milk that comes out of a jug.
No, it's not. And I'm not exaggerating. You guys know that I'm not exaggerating this. I go through a gallon of milk in less than a week and I live alone.
That's crazy.
See, there's 5 days usually, 5-6 days and the milk's gone.
Yeah. And you're like my mom. My mom drinks so much milk. That's what I attribute why she's so strong.
Yeah.
Not strong, but like her bones aren't brittle.
Right.
She's always falling.
Oh, is that right?
She's always, because, you know, icy steps or something.
Sure.
She's fallen and she's never broken a bone, which is insane to me. Because she just seems like a very frail lady.
Right.
But it's all that milk, man.
I guess that's what it is. So, yeah, I don't know. All right. You know that Oreo cookies were introduced in 1912?
Wow.
Some of them, I think, are still on, some of them are still on the shelf at the 7-Eleven from 1912. Hold on. Wait. Hold on.
All right. The 1912 7-Eleven?
That's right.
What?
They were called 610 at that time. That's what
I can't eat Oreos anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're so... It's Crisco, man. You're
first
eating
of
Crisco.
First of all, I don't know how anybody... could eat the double stuffs. That's too much.
I can't. And then you get that film.
Yeah. And I also have to eat them together. I can't do the twist and then the scraping the...
Yeah, I can't eat
I have
it's
to eat them
much.
Together. I need the balance. I need the dark chocolate to take away a little bit of that.
Exactly.
And
it's just...
And the double stuff is way... It's way too much. Oaken used to eat those all the time.
No.
When I lived with him, you know, and we weren't Mambo Kings together on that. He'd come home with double stuff. So I'm like, why don't you just get regular Oreos? He's like, because regular Oreos, there's not enough stuff.
Oh, gross. Crisco, guys, it's Crisco.
It's not.
If you look at the back, it's vegetable shortening.
Marshmallow Fluff came out in 1917.
See, I'm not a big fan of Marshmallow Fluff.
I love Marshmallow Fluff.
I don't really like marshmallows either. I'm very particular.
All right.
Like, I can't eat, you know, how people just, they love eating all the marshmallows out of the cereal. I never liked cereal with marshmallows.
Yeah, okay. Now, Dan, are you a marshmallow guy?
Actually, I had some as a snack.
Fluff?
Yesterday morning.
Just
no, just marshmallows.
Oh, just marshmallows.
We had mini marshmallows that Eileen uses for cooking. And if I can't find something sweet in the morning, I will just pop in a couple marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. Nestle Milk Chocolate Bars, 1919, they debuted.
Mm.
Peppermint Lifesavers, the first and only flavor when Lifesavers started. Mm-hmm. They were peppermint. 1913.
Weren't they for smokers? Or is that? Oh no, that's Pez.
Yeah, Pez. Yeah, Pez.
What?
No, nothing. I dated a girl who collected Pez dispensers.
I used to too. I had a whole collection of the Star Wars ones,
mm-hmm.
and then a friend of mine burnt Chewbacca's face off. Yeah, he was real mean.
He just took it and burned it?
He just burned his poor little face.
With a lighter?
Yes, with a lighter.
So your friend of yours took a lighter and burned off Chewbacca's face?
Yeah. And he disfigured him.
Poor Chewbacca.
Yeah. I think I got another one after that.
My favorite Pez dispenser that I ever saw, and my ex had one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive one.
Oh.
It's from Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what the alien looks like? An alien when it opens his mouth and then another set of jaws come out?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Pez came from. So you would open up the head of the alien,
uh-huh.
and that second set of jaws would come out, and the Pez would be inside that second set of jaws. Very, very cool. I don't know what she paid for it, but that was like... That was one of her prized possessions.
Yeah.
Because she had them on shelves and cabinets and stuff. She had a massive collection of them. And I think my guess is that some of them are worth a lot of money, but alien one is awesome. It's awesome. It was one of those things I'm like, hey, let's bring that out and show people. No! I'm like, let's fill it up with Pez. No!
To put your white gloves on when you
Come
touch
on,
it.
Come on, man. This thing is way too cool not to bring it. Look at it. It's an alien Pez dispenser with the second set of greasy jaws coming out and with your Pez in it.
Yeah, I collected some Pez, but honestly, Pez don't taste that good.
No, they're not. The candy's not that great. The way it is dispensed is awesome, and all the like cool different Pez dispensers. Mm-hmm. That's great, especially for your kid. Mm-hmm. It's not the tastiest candy in the world.
No.
But the Pez dispensers are cool.
They are.
And it also made a great episode of Seinfeld, the Pez dispenser episode of Seinfeld, which is a fantastic episode. That's where he puts they're at a piano recital. George's girlfriend is a pianist.
Yes.
She's at a classical recital, and he and Jerry and Lane go.
Mm-hmm.
And during the very serious recital, he puts he's got this goofy looking Pez dispenser, and he puts it on Elaine's lap.
Oh.
And she starts laughing like out loud and has to leave.
Oh, okay.
And then that becomes part of because the pianist says, I will never forget that laugh ever again. And they just want to make sure that Elaine never laughs in front of her.
Oh, boy.
And because Jerry put a Pez dispenser on her lap. So, all right, there you go. All right, let's take a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll talk more about snacks, and we got a bunch of texts coming in as well. 312-981-7200. Wildcard Wednesday, Esmeralda, it certainly is.
By the way, that still happens.
Oh, yeah? We open up the door and go, ah!
Tinder is your
Tinder.
Mystery date.
It's mystery swipe.
Yeah.
773 area code wanted to hear the mystery date theme jingle. I don't know if you remember the episode of the Ren and Stimpy short, which I think is the funniest thing ever in the history of cartoons, is when Ren Hoek comes. It's his, it's Ren's stupid cousin, and
mm-hmm.
he and Stimpy get along together, and that's when Ren comes home from work and the house is wrecked. His dinosaur eggs have been violated, and he screams at him, "I'm going to hit you, and you're going to fall." That whole like abusive parent thing that they did.
Yeah.
Well, they were trying to think of games to play, like Stimpy and Ren, and he opens up the door, and he's got all the games, and one of them is Misery Date. Wasn't Mystery Date, but it's the way that Stimpy says it. Misery Date. And then they play Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence.
Yeah.
They whiz on the... Ren whizzes on the electric fence. They go to hell. The devil goes, yeah, you whizzed on the electric fence, didn't you? That's the best show ever in the history of anything. Ren and Stimpy. All right. We got some texts here. Troy says, Hostess Ding Dongs, but I heard they're getting rid of them. See, that's all a bunch of nonsense. Remember when they said, oh, no more Twinkies, and everybody went, oh, and they bought, like, cases of Twinkies and sold them on eBay for $500?
And then they're like, surprise.
Yeah.
We're not.
630 area code, apples with peanut butter. That's a good snack. And a healthy snack.
Oh, yeah. I don't like peanut butter.
But you don't like peanut butter?
No.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Apples and honey?
No, I just would
just
eat
apples.
An apple.
Okay. apples with peanut butter, I like. I enjoy that. 847 area code says animal crackers are lemony, like Esmeralda said.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was a different. Maybe it was the knockoffs or something.
I don't remember them. I haven't had an animal cracker in a long time. I just don't remember them being sort of bland and not really.
Because I also think Twinkies have a
sort of a lemon taste to them. Yeah,
I
can see that.
I don't enjoy it.
I can see that.
Because it's not a strong lemon. It's like a very subtle. I don't like that it's subtle.
You want some citrus.
Right. If you're going to put citrus, give me some citrus.
Exactly. I understand. 815 area code says, I used to eat saltines with peanut butter, and I used to put Ritz crackers in my SpaghettiOs.
See, that's fine.
I guess,
that's
yeah.
a cracker.
Yeah. It tastes different buttery. Than a saltine, though.
Yeah, they're buttery.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever put Ritz crackers into... Well, no, I have. I've put it into soup. Soup, yes. Not SpaghettiOs. I've never put it in SpaghettiOs.
I mean, yeah, that's...
Lou says, favorite snack, Susie Q's.
What are those?
It's two chocolate cakes, and in the middle is a cream filling.
Okay.
It's like plain chocolate. There's no frosting on it. That's okay. It's just like chocolate cake. It's like two chocolate cakes and then a layer of cream in the middle.
Okay.
They're fine. There's just no frosting.
Right.
But that stuff in the middle is enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I never bought those. My parents never got those for me. I never thought to get them.
We did, and we had Hostess, but we had a Hostess outlet store.
Oh.
Like blocks away from where we it was on Roscoe near Belmont. And it was like blocks away, and it was right across the street from Mangiavins, which was like, you know, your Italian beef and mm-hmm. Polish sausage. It was a healthy corner right there.
Right.
Go to Mangiavins, get yourself a couple of hot dogs and a couple of beefs, a couple of tamales, and then go across and grab a bunch of Hostess.
Ugh. See, and then in Mexico, they have their own Hostess stuff. There's, I forget what company it is, but they're called Gancitos.
Uh-huh.
And they're...
Same logo, too? Like,
no,
kind of, no,
I don't know what the logo is. I forget, but they're like... But it's like yellow cake, but fruit jam.
Oh, okay.
In the middle.
Okay.
But it's that swirl kind of cake.
What are they called again?
Gancitos.
Okay.
So it's a goose, little geese.
Oh, okay. That's the logo?
No.
No. Well, that's what it means. That's the translation. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No clue.
Why it would be a fruit snack would be
whatever.
Would be a little goose. 773 Shirley Temple, top of the food chain.
Yeah, she's taking down those rabbits in wool. Was it a wolf?
Yeah,
there's. I don't think they had wolves.
They did not have wolves.
Wolves or rabbits?
No rabbits, no wolves. She's just eating. She's just running around in the wilderness, just eating
I
stuff.
Think, yeah. Ugh.
You see her out there, blood all over her face, running.
Running. Animal crackers.
Dead animals all
like
strewn.
Shirley.
Good Lord, Shirley. Feral Shirley.
Yeah.
815 area code says, my mom would always make sliced bananas. Well, you don't make sliced banana. You slice a banana. You don't make a banana. Banana is made by the earth. And you put a dab of peanut butter on it and a chocolate chip on each slice for a snack. Well, that's nice.
That's sweet.
A little slice of bananas, a little peanut butter, chocolate chip. That's a nice mm-hmm. little snack.
Right. I would snack on ramen.
Just
I didn't eat uncooked
ramen?
Well, that and cooked.
Cooked ramen, yeah. I used to, you know, there's obviously on my Italian side.
Mm-hmm. you said that so like, ooh.
I had relatives, you know, because my grandfather was off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so... They a lot of my uncles and you know, like aunts and stuff, my dad's aunt and uncles and stuff like that, would have like old school like Italian traditions, and one of them was to just eat raw pasta all the time. Just be like,
I would if it tasted good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I love
it's weird because the packaged pasta that's hard,
mm-hmm.
they would eat as a snack, but they would make pasta from scratch like to eat. For like real pasta,
soft raw
yeah, they would make,
pasta. Dough?
They would make no. They would cook that.
Oh,
what
and
I'm
then
saying
eat
is
it.
They would use the hard pasta to snack on.
Right,
but if you're making,
you need something
right.
while you're making
exactly.
it.
All right. Well, listen, sharks tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Oh boy,
sharks, prepare. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you.
All right. We'll be back with the news.